welcome to this reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. We continue to examine the question of Emmanuel, so what? God is with us, so how do we respond? So I'm going to read from Matthew 16, verses 13 to 16, and then 21 to 28. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, Son of the living God." From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. Truly, I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." So we see in our passage for this morning that Jesus calls us to complete surrender and submission to God. He tells us, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." That's a hard lesson for us to learn. It is not a natural thing for us to deny ourselves. And so we constantly need help to follow God's plan for our lives rather than our own. There are many things that try to stop us listening to God. So let's consider a few things that come from this morning's passage. Firstly, surrender, even when God tells us something we don't want to hear. So the passage starts with Jesus asking his disciples who people say that he is. And then he asks the disciples, "But what about you? Who do you say I am?" And Peter, in a flash of inspiration from God, proudly proclaims, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." This is an exciting moment for Peter as Jesus praises him for the revelation God bestowed on him, and declared that his name was Peter, for on this rock Jesus would build his church. With all of this bolstering him up, Peter must have been feeling pretty confident and excited about the future and what the Messiah would do for Israel. It seems that at this moment Peter really gets what is happening and who Jesus is. But then it is at this moment that Jesus starts talking to them about his future, in which he would suffer, die and be raised again. Jesus' dying was the last thing that Peter could imagine or accept. The idea that the elders, chief priests and teachers of the law would have Jesus arrested and handed over to be killed would have horrified Peter. So he immediately began denying such a thing could possibly occur, going so far as to rebuke Jesus for speaking that way. From Peter's adamant denial, and from what we know of Peter, I imagine that at that very moment he was preparing how to defend Jesus against arrest. After all, we know he cut off the servant's ear when the guards came to arrest Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. So this demonstrates that Peter wasn't just disbelieving or disliking God's plan, but that he was actively planning how to work against God's plan coming to pass. Peter was so upset that Jesus said he would be killed that he was willing to act against God. I suspect this is why Jesus rebuked Peter so fiercely. "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." In contrast to that, we have the perfect submission of Jesus. Peter didn't like the idea of Jesus suffering and dying. Well, neither did Jesus like the idea of him suffering and dying. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus' soul was overwhelmed with sorrow as he pleaded with the Father, "Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me." His despair and desperation was so great that his sweat came out as drops of blood. And yet, despite this great desire not to experience the suffering and death that God had planned for him, Jesus submitted perfectly to the Father's plan. He surrendered himself to God as he said, "Yet not what I will, but you will, what you will." When God tells us something that we do not want to hear, we might find ourselves responding not like Jesus, but like Peter did, and choosing to act in opposition to God's plan. This is something that I can relate to, as when God first called me to ministry, I was incredulous and doubting. But eventually, I believed that it was God's plan for my life, but I was convinced that it wasn't going to happen yet. I fooled myself into believing that I knew better than God about what was right. I thought I was too young, too inexperienced, and without enough worldly experience to be able to go into ministry. So instead of listening to God and following his plan, I decided to take a different path, and I took an administration job in a haulage company. As soon as I signed the contract, I knew I was doing the wrong thing. I felt in my spirit as if Jesus was rebuking me, just as he rebuked Peter. Yet I carried on working for that company for several months in my stubbornness before God intervened and put me back on the right track. God had told me that he wanted me to go into ministry right then, but I didn't want to. I had so many different excuses as to why it wasn't right, but ultimately I just didn't like what God had told me, and so I chose to do things my own way. I wonder if you have similar stories where God has told you something you don't like, so you chose to go your own way. Of course, God calls us to follow his path for us, because he knows what is best for us. God knew, for example, in my situation, that the administration job that I'd taken wasn't right for me. And of course he was right. Within a few months, I found myself fearing going to work because I found it so stressful. God knows our future, and he knows what is best for us. So when he tells us something we don't want to hear, we have to trust that what he says is best for us, and to choose to surrender to his plans. So we need to surrender even when God tells us something we don't like. We also need to surrender even when it goes against our plans. So Peter reacted negatively towards Jesus because he didn't like what Jesus said, but he also reacted because God's plan went against his own understanding and expectations about what the Messiah would do. At the time of Jesus, there was a variety of opinions about who the Messiah would be and what they would do. This is in part why there was such a variety of opinions about who Jesus was. John the Baptist, raised from the dead, Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. There was such a diversity of opinions in the Jews of Jesus' time regarding the future, the end times, the salvation promised to them. And so Peter was no different in holding certain expectations and hopes about the Messiah and about his mission. He understood that the Messiah to come would be one coming to restore Israel. And so to Peter and to others like him, this probably would have meant overthrowing the Romans, to rebuild Israel as a political sovereign nation, able to rule over the others. Others in Israel believed that the Messiah would come to give true interpretation of the law and begin an ethical revival in Israel. Yet others thought the Messiah was coming to cleanse the temple and bring cultic reformation to restore temple worship. And there would have been people who believed in a combination of these things. So as we can see, expectations regarding the Messiah were wide and varied. And so everyone had their own plans about what the Messiah would do. So Peter was stunned to hear Jesus' plan for the future of the Messiah, that the Messiah would suffer at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and then would be handed over to be killed. This vision of the future went completely against Peter's likely expectations of victory over the Romans and restoration of the law as the governing factor. Thus, Peter loudly proclaimed his stance against such a plan. Yet, Jesus calls Peter out for favouring his own plans above the plans of God. He tells Peter, "You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Peter had human concerns in mind, not the concerns of God. But what about us? Do you find your plans, hopes, and expectations sometimes do not follow the plans that God lays down? How do we deal with this conflict? Are we willing to lay down our plans and follow God? Or do we struggle against God's rule and decide to continue with our own plans? We need to ask God to help us submit to him daily, because it is a constant struggle to surrender our own plans and expectations, to instead keep our minds fixed on those heavenly concerns. But God is gracious, and he has given us the Holy Spirit to keep us fixed on him, to remind us when our concerns are focused on the wrong things, to guide us into God's plans. We need to be sensitive to the movement of the Spirit in our lives and to listen to what he has to say to us. Thirdly, we need to surrender when the world tempts us. So another thing that causes us to struggle to surrender is our desire for the pleasures, comforts and thrills that the world offers us. After rebuking Peter, Jesus turns to the other disciples and says, "Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul?" He speaks specifically of gaining the whole world. The world tempts us with many pleasures and thrills, but they are only ever temporary and they never fully satisfy. It can be hard to avoid getting caught up in the pleasures of this earth so much that we do not see the joys that await us in eternity with God. There are many ways the world tempts us. Some are more obvious than others. There are the more obvious pleasures of riches, sex, fame. So many people chase after being rich and famous because it seems that that's the way to find happiness and satisfaction. But of course there are other, less obvious ways that Satan tries to keep us captured. Things like a feeling of belonging that comes by following the status quo, a sense of security and safety that comes from not taking steps of faith, pressure from society and friendship groups to keep faith a private and personal matter and not something to be shared. All of these things, whether the flashy temptations of fame and fortune or the subtle temptations of fitting in, all of them stops us truly living for Christ. And Jesus tells us if we want to be his disciple, we must deny ourselves, deny all these temptations in our lives, and instead take up our cross, surrender to God and follow him, not being drawn away by the temptations of the world. Now I imagine for most of us that fame and fortune are probably not the temptations that we struggle most with on a daily basis. Now, I'm sure none of us would mind having extra money to spend, but I think the temptations that are most challenging for us daily are those subtle ones, the ones that call us to blend in, to belong, to stay safe and comfortable, instead of standing up, stepping out, and taking risks for Christ. We need to gain confidence in Christ and trust that the Holy Spirit is working in and through us powerfully. When we have confidence in God, we are given the strength, power, and encouragement to step forward in faith with God. When we trust more in God than we fear what could happen, then we will see God do amazing things. Peter experienced the joy of realizing that Jesus was the Messiah, but then he almost immediately faced that rebuke that Jesus gave him, as his own expectations led to him standing in the way of God's plans. But as we continue to read about Peter's development as a disciple and apostle, we see that his experiences with Jesus gave him confidence to take the church forward after Jesus' death and resurrection. Surrender is hard. It isn't a natural human thing to do, which is why we need the Holy Spirit with us to give us that supernatural spiritual strength to do it. So let us continue to pray to God to help us surrender more and more of ourselves to him, to help us to learn how to deny ourselves and take up our cross. So let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you that you have modelled for us how to surrender. Jesus, you surrendered everything so that you could save us and restore us to relationship with you. So Lord, help us as we surrender ourselves to you. Lord, you know we find it difficult that we do not want to give up part of ourselves. So help us to deny ourselves and take up our cross, to surrender more and more each day. Holy Spirit, come and fill our hearts. Take control, we pray. In your mighty name we pray. Amen.